The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Aloha! Bob here with this week's Bubble Genius Showcase item of the week. Oh my God, it's my favorite hibiscus soap. I love this hibiscus-shaped soap so much that Bubble Genius actually named it after me. It's Bob's favorite hibiscus soap. Go to BubbleGenius.com/Bob-Hibiscus for soap that not only smells like Hawaii, but it massages your hands while you wash. I personally don't use any other hand soap, and I think you'll be hooked too. Only $8 for a 3-pack at BubbleGenius.com, but if you use our promo code Bob and Chez, that's BOBANDCHEZ, you'll get 15% off your entire order only at BubbleGenius.com.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
The Gunsplainer, starring Chuck Boltback. Brought to you by Chesterfield Cigarettes. When one lung is enough.
The Gunsplainer roamed the West, but only appeared to people after there was trouble.
Oh, my.
Them Indians just came out of nowhere.
Well.
Thank God nobody's hurt.
They attacked our wagon train with Winchesters.
Pardon me, ma'am.
Huh?
What?
Where'd you come from?
Those weren't Winchesters.
What?
You know, used by the Redskins.
Excuse me?
Native Americans. The rifle used by the Radicals was the Colt Burgess Rifle, also known as the 1883 Burgess Rifle, a lever-action repeating rifle, which, although utilizing the same 44-40 Winchester cartridge...
We need some help here, mister.
...has an octagonally shaped 650-millimeter barrel, and actually a stronger action design than the Winchester.
Is anybody going
to
help?
Because it has a toggle joint system to lock the breech block and the extension of the loading
lever. Oh, forget it, Mary. Let's go.
No kidding. What a schmuck.
The Gunsplainer.
People don't know. They just don't know. They have no idea.
By the way, who was that balding, overweight, middle-aged man? I wanted to smack him.
That was the Gunsplainer.
Stay tuned now for Have Gun, Will Troll.
The best music on the best station.
The Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
It is Thursday, June 16, 2016, and this is the Bob and Chez Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. I'm Bob, that's Chez.
Yo.
Right there. Thanks to Rocky Mountain Mike for the Gunsplainer. Just so you know, the Gunsplainer, played by Jeff Hoyt in Seattle. Mary, played by Mary in Ann Arbor. Is Anybody Gonna Help? Played by Steve in Ann Arbor. And Gabby, played by Richard Hensel in Chicago. So thanks to everyone for that. And it's really appropriate. Oh, by the way, we're brought to you by Bubble Genius, also brought to you by the Bowen Law Group, blah, 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 blah. It's appropriate that we got this bit from Rocky Mountain Mike this week because right after we finished Tuesday's show, was it Tuesday? What day is it? Tuesday? Yeah. Today's Thursday, but the other show was Tuesday. Right after that, we learned that the Orlando shooter wasn't using, in fact, an AR-15.
He was using a SIG.
Using a, what is it, a SIG Sauer MCX big replacement for tiny kind of thing? Is that what that is?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Sig Sauer actually is what I own, so.
Oh, is that what you own? Is,
yes.
But you don't own one of these.
Of course not. P226.
You own a handgun, right?
Yes, I do.
And your
dad... I'm the first one to say that I've never used it for anything other than target practice, and if somebody told me to surrender it, I don't know. I don't think I'd pitch a fit anymore.
It's a little bit terrifying knowing that you have a handgun.
Isn't it?
Just a little bit.
When you think about it.
Chez Pazienza, handgun owner. That's terrifying.
Well, the only reason I had it was because when I first came out here, I drove across country by myself.
Yeah.
So, maybe I do.
So you needed a gun for that endeavor.
Well, maybe I do fit the argument that the Second Amendment, just absolute strident Second Amendment lunatics use, which is, got to be able to protect yourself. I suppose I did think that.
That's right. Well, so we were corrected right away. Not only did the news story come out, but a bunch of people on Twitter was like, Bob! It's like Clint Howard in Parenthood.
Yeah. You don't know what you're talking about! What are you talking about? Not an AR-15!
Like, oh, sorry, not an AR-15. Something looks exactly like it. I mean, it's like...
The difference is... I think that sort of the look and feel of the AR-15, mm-hmm. to me, and I don't mean to be moving the goalposts here, but I think that, that becomes an issue. I think that there is something psychologically about holding a weapon like that that
That's
makes
right.
you feel more like more of a badass. And obviously there are things about that gun that are more powerful than mm-hmm. your average, you know, handgun, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks like somebody...
You know, one of the weird things that people don't seem to understand, and I don't mean to be the gunsplainer here, but, you know, people getting shot and shot with a handgun with like a 9mm and dying immediately, that can obviously happen. That doesn't happen as often as you'd think.
Yeah.
And a really great example is, remember the cop in, I feel terrible for not being able to remember the name. The cop in, I think it was North Carolina, who shot the guy in the back several times as he was running
yes,
away.
Yes, that's right, right, right.
And he shot
was it Freddie Gray? That was Freddie Gray.
Yeah, Freddie. Yeah. And no, it wasn't Freddie Gray.
Oh,
Gray was the other guy.
I know. God, they're all running together. I completely sympathize with you.
I feel terrible for not being able to remember the name. But either way, the guy was shot in the back several times before he actually fell.
Right.
And my dad, who was a cop for a long time, will tell you, he used to say to me that there is a difference between a 45 and a 9mm because the 45 has genuine stopping power. Yeah. What I'm trying to get across here is you can survive being shot with a 9mm.
Mm-hmm.
If you're shot with an assault style rifle or you're shot with a sort of military grade weapon or very close to it, you stand a lot less chance of surviving.
That's
right. Those weapons are meant to do a lot more damage and to inflict a ton of it at the same time.
Well, if you recall, there was another shooter who was on his way, who was stopped actually on his way to another mass shooting that would have taken place on the same day. And that shooter was caught with an AR style, right? Like kind of like this, kind of like an AR style rifle, except he had modified the magazine to spray bullets in a much faster rate.
Yeah, which is just again, I stand by the fact that nobody on no civilian needs that.
No
civilian needs that kind of weapon, period.
A lot of times, I mean, these guns are most popular. I'm talking about these AR style weapons, like the Sig Sauer MCX blah 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 that was used in Orlando. I imagine this is chosen because it makes people feel like they're in combat. Makes them feel like they really know what they're doing, even though they probably don't in some cases.
Sure.
Makes them feel like they're doing something serious.
Sure. I made the comment on Tuesday and I stand by it. I have friends of mine, and I don't mean to insult them, but I mean, I have friends of mine who own those kinds of weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever they post pictures of them, I love my friends, but I can't help but kind of chuckle because it's like, look, fat suburban bitch, you are not in the military.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, sorry. No.
Right.
You know, you want to carry, you really think you're a badass and you want to carry a gun like that, join the military.
Well, I mean, we've all seen those pictures, right, of Dan Bedondi posing in his backyard with all of his stupid handguns.
That's a great example. It's a great example. Yeah. Guns make a buffoon like Dan Bedondi feel like he's strong.
Yeah, and of course he posed. He had a wide variety of guns. Guys like Dan Bedondi somehow not only able to get their hands on like firearms.
Guess what, Bob and Jess? You're gonna get evil scum.
But he can also become a pilot.
It's been so long since I've heard his voice. I miss it.
I know. I watched. He did a video on Facebook, on his Facebook page the other day, where he went to some sort of flag honoring event where it was just a big procession of cars all waving the flag. And of course, he was with a bunch of his InfoWars buddies, because if you're just joining us, Dan Bedondi is sort of a sidekick to Alex Jones and that whole InfoWars universe. But he's an idiot. He's a big hairless idiot. And so he was with all of his InfoWars buddies. And they actually had a replica of the ISIS flag, but they had replaced out, instead of the Arabic lettering on there, they had something about a war for your mind, you know, on there. And then they're driving up and down, and Dan Bedondi's talking about, they're discussing the finer points of the don't tread on me flag versus the the American flag that we know now, and they're driving by and they're beeping their horn and they're on their way and they were going to talk to people. And it was so fun. It was like being a fly on the wall in the craziest effing car in the United States. It was like being inside the clown car with Dan Bedani and a bunch of his InfoWars goons driving down the street. And of course, it's terrifying because, of course, Dan.
It's the most version of carpool karaoke you've ever seen.
Exactly. Dan Bedani driving the car once again and then filming himself while he's driving the car in a long procession of traffic. What could possibly go wrong in that situation? A big hairless doofus driving an automobile with a bunch of idiots and he's filming himself at the same time. I can't even imagine the chaos that would reign if suddenly that procession picked up speed or suddenly stopped. And then it would just be like a domino effect. I don't know why I lost track of the time. And then he smashes into a group of bystanders with five of the cars in front of him. Anyway, so we've got this all cleared up in terms of the Orlando weapon, as if this even matters. It's all about the military style assault rifles that are being used. Oh, and by the way, I did get quite a few emails and texts and things like that from gun people explaining to me a bunch of different things about how I should, first of all, I shouldn't be using the phrase assault rifles. We always get that one. Every time I use that one, and I use it deliberately just so I can get those text messages.
Mm-hmm.
And then
the gunsplainer bit was pretty spot on.
Yes, very much.
Yeah,
so.
No matter what happens, there always come those people who step out of the woodwork to clue you in on the reality of guns.
Yes, and as soon as I saw this one come down, as soon as I saw the title of this one from Rocky Mountain Mike, I was like, yes, this is gonna be great. Sponsored by Chesterfield Cigarettes. I love that. Also got some interesting responses when I wrote in the Daily Banter the other day something about how people who hunt for fun and sport are basically sociopaths. And there were some folks who didn't like that. I can't imagine why they wouldn't like that. But I need to clarify something here. When I wrote fun and sport, notice how I didn't say food, fun, and sport. I was talking about people who shoot animals for no other purpose other than to watch them die.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 110%. Yeah, I think that if you're eating something, it's a completely different story. But I think that if you're hunting for sport and that's it, and that animal goes, you know, that animal's head goes on your wall, you're a f***ing a-hole.
That's right. And even then, if you hunt for food, why do you need a constitutional carve-out to protect that? If you get that, then I should have some sort of constitutional protection for getting my food with an ATM card. You know what I mean? It's just, the whole constitutional debate is driving me insane because people are looking at it as if it's an either or proposition. Either it's the Second Amendment or we don't have any guns at all. But it's not that. It's just, do the guns really need this sacrosanct section, this sentence put into the Bill of Rights to protect those guns, whereas all other consumer products, all other things that we need to survive, like air and clean water and food that's not poisoning us, and on down healthcare, on down the line, none of that is covered in the Constitution. Guns? Oh, sure, of course.
Yeah.
Even though there is no real solid practical use for them, unless you live in the woods and you hunt with your gun for food. And you need it for that exclusive purpose, then okay, I guess. I guess you can be in the Constitution, even though I don't understand why that's necessary, but okay. You know, also, while we're talking about guns, this is something else that happened right after the show on Tuesday. Just as we wrapped, I saw this news story. The headline in Raw Story was, Obama-hating doomsday prepper guns down three neighbors in AR-15 ambush, then claims self-defense. This is a story. No one's talking about this story. Police arrested a government-hating West Virginia man, there's a shocker, who admitted to killing three neighbors as part of an ongoing dispute. Morgan County Sheriff's deputies responded to a shooting report Monday afternoon near a timber farm in Great Cacapon?
I don't know.
That sounds like a profanity to me. Where they found three men shot to death, reported Metro News. Investigators identified 32-year-old Eric Shute, who described himself as a sovereign citizen. as the suspected gunman and arrested him in Chester County, Pennsylvania, shortly after midnight on Tuesday after an eight-hour manhunt. Sovereign Citizens are loosely organized movement of tax protesters. This is a very genteel description of what the Sovereign Citizens are. They're a loosely organized movement of tax protesters and anti-government activists who believe most government agencies act illegally and have been identified as by law enforcement as the top domestic terrorist threat. This was self-defense, Shute posted. Yeah. I talked to a cop, and he even agreed this was an open and shut case of self-defense, and they probably won't even pursue charges. I'm just waiting to talk to the prosecutor. I have nothing to hide. Media can contact me on my cell. I am open to talk. These guys stole over $20,000 of our stuff and sold it for drugs and blah, blah, blah. But suffice to say, this nutbag was able to get his hands on an AR-15. And I'm sure you've noticed all of the headlines coming down on Facebook and on Twitter about all of these experiments where they're sending in like a 13-year-old kid to buy like porn, cigarettes, and guns, and he's blocked from buying the porn and the cigarettes, but is able to easily buy a gun.
Yeah,
it's fucking horrible. Meanwhile, just on the AR-15, since we're talking about gunsplaining here. You know, we've talked about this before. We talked about it in the context of former Congressman Steve Stockman, who held several different contests where he gave away AR-15s. And yes, I know, they're not the same as a 6R, whatever that is. But still, it's the same kind of firearm, or it's a similar kind of firearm, I should say. Jesus Christ. I can only imagine the comments for today's show. This guy named Andy Holt, he's holding an AR-15 giveaway at a fundraiser. One day after the worst mass shooting in American history, Representative Andy Holt is firmly standing behind his decision to give away a semi-automatic rifle similar to the one used in the Orlando shooting, while announcing his plans last week to hold his first annual Hogfest and Turkey Shoot. Hey, that's...
Shag off.
Ches and I better get on a plane right now. Those are our kind of people. Holt, yep. Holt, a Republican from Dresden...
That's good. Why not?
Said he will give away an AR-15 as a door prize to an attendee of
right after he firebombs the entire neighborhood.
At his June 25th fundraiser, the event is also scheduled to include a turkey shoot. Participants are encouraged to bring their own rifle and ammo. Yes, let's all come down. We're going to torture a bunch of animals with our guns. And here, by the way, if you don't have one already, here's an AR-15. You can completely decimate the turkey with it. Jesus Christ, these people. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about John McCain. John McCain, who basically verified and legitimized everything that Donald Trump has been saying about the shooting in Orlando. That's right after this. Only a couple of days left, all right? All right, only a couple of days left before Father's Day. Now, when I first started shaving, my dad gave me a brief tutorial of what to do when I'm shaving. Like, don't take the blade and move it sideways, left to right. That'll cause problems. But he taught me also that it's okay to use one of those blue plastic disposable blades. You know the ones I'm talking about? I get his reason. They're cheap, and you use them once and you throw them away. But no, they're terrible for your face and even worse in a landfill. So naturally, I'm picking up Dad a special limited edition shave set for Father's Day just for Dad, since he's so razor impaired, from Harry's Razors. Get one for your dad and get one for yourself too. Harry's offers a high quality German engineered shave that's better for your face and your wallet. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get them for half the price at harrys.com? They have a starter set too. It's an amazing deal. $15, you get a razor moisturizing shave cream and 3 razor blades with a money back satisfaction guarantee. Stand up against overpriced store-bought blades in their protective glass display cases with Harry's Razors. Go to harrys.com, enter the promo code BANDC, get $5 off your first Harry shave. Plus, you'll be supporting the show by taking good care of your face or your legs, ladies, with Harry's Razors. That's HARRYS.com.
Super music, pow, pow, power.
Bob and Ches Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome back to our Thursday show. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for supporting us at patreon.com/bobandchuck. Okay, continuing on with today's show. Not only has the current Republican presidential nominee blamed Barack Obama for the Orlando massacre.
Now that guy everyone used to take seriously before about 8 years ago.
Jesus Christ. This guy who sometimes with John McCain, you go, huh, well, that's good. John McCain did something cool, said something interesting. Now it's John McCain is screaming at clouds. John McCain has gone bye-bye. John McCain agrees with Donald Trump. The 2008.
Look, in his defense, though, seriously, he's come down with dysentery because he's had to watch up his ass for the past 40 years.
That's right. He's getting all of his talking points from Sarah Palin now. Sarah Palin, we're going to learn a little bit about Sarah Palin's favorite congressman, Steve King.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
That's coming up in a bit. But yeah, so the guy who brought us Sarah Palin, thank you for that, Senator. Said that Barack Obama is directly responsible for it being the Orlando massacre. Because when he pulled everybody out of Iraq, Al-Qaeda went to Syria, became ISIS, and ISIS is what it is today, thanks to Barack Obama.
You know who actually is responsible for Orlando? Christopher Columbus.
That's right.
Because if Christopher Columbus hadn't come over here eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And found I guess it was the Indies, which, eventually, he got credit for finding America. And
yeah.
And if no one had ever come to America, if the pilgrims hadn't come over, there wouldn't be an America.
Yeah.
We never would have gone into Iraq in the first place.
Yeah. One thing leads to another. Yada, sure. Yada, yada. 49 people dead in Orlando.
You know who's responsible for this? God.
God. God. Yeah, because God created Earth. And then this happened. And then suddenly Orlando. Thanks, God. So it is Barack Obama. But, I mean, I love that. I love that sort of Russian doll scenario where how far back do you go? You could go back and blame George W. Bush for going into Iraq in the first place.
Proving, by the way, that he's completely bat McCain, yeah. He's trying to walk this back now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, of course. Well, what he's trying to do is he's trying to say, he says that he misspoke. he says that he misspoke. And listen to this full of crap, quote unquote, misspeak. He okay. says that he didn't mean to imply that Obama was personally responsible, mm-hmm. but he was referring to his national security decisions. So really kind of one, six of one, half dozen of the other.
Yeah, it's not him. It's his choices. Yeah. That's why all of this went down. Right. Now, of course, this solidifies and further vindicates the idea that if Al Gore had been president during 9/11, he would have been impeached. If a 9/11 style event had occurred under Barack Obama, absolutely would have been impeached.
Absolutely. No, that's something that I believed wholeheartedly, that I have believed for quite a few years.
That's right.
That we're so split partisan wise now, especially in terms of the way the Republicans think, the way conservatives think, that nothing huge can happen to this country that will not be the fault of a Democrat, especially the fault of Barack Obama.
That's right. And this just further proves, in addition to 9/11 and impeachment, this further proves that the Republicans are all about party. They're entirely about party, because if something like this occurs under a Republican president, then it's like, oh, everybody get in line. If you oppose our Republican president, you're with the terrorists.
Yeah.
And that, of course, is
we
what
we spent 8 years listening to that.
Oh,
eight
God, yeah.
Fucking years.
Yeah. Ari Fleischer saying, watch what you say. Watch what you do. You know, anyone who spoke up, Phil Donahue, casualty, Bill Maher, casualty. During those years, just the list goes on and on of people who were just shouted down. The Dixie Chicks. This is one person after another who merely said, I mean, the Dixie Chicks said, we're ashamed to be from Texas with George W. Bush in the White House. There were record burnings. People were mm-hmm. burning piles of Dixie Chicks CDs. Now it's just like, well, something terrible happened and it's sort of kind of a little bit maybe related to terrorism. Impeach! It's his fault. It's Barack Obama's fault for inciting all of this because of whatever. You know, I mean, what we know and what's verified is that there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq prior to the invasion of, and occupation of Iraq by the Bush administration. They didn't exist. After that, here's Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And Al-Qaeda in Iraq, what did they become? They became ISIS. This is entirely, I mean, if we're going to blame one of the chief executives, it's got to be George W. Bush. But, I mean, you can't even draw necessarily a correlation between Orlando and Iraq or anything going on in the Middle East. This guy, as far as we know right now, the shooter in Orlando, was only barely associated. There was so little connection between, and frankly, his one connection was with a guy in Syria. And that didn't even work out to the point where the FBI was like, oh, there's nothing here. We don't really have a solid connection here. Why are we wasting our time on this guy? Obviously, this guy had other issues, things that were manifesting themselves domestically that they should have kept up and continued to investigate. But so you can't say, okay, Barack Obama abided by that agreement, the Status of Forces Agreement, to get out of Iraq. So therefore, Orlando. It doesn't work that way. So you just can't. You can't make that correlation. And the only thing I can think of course, is that John McCain is saying this because this is his thing. Is it to cut and run? You know, you don't want to cut and run out of Iraq because here's what's going to happen.
Wow, man, there's a greatest hit from the Bush years that I haven't heard in a long time. Yeah. Cut and run.
Well, that's what he's all about. He's so concerned right now toward the end of his career of solidifying his legacy as a senator and as a quote unquote foreign policy expert. The guy actually met with the ISIS commander. I mean, John McCain actually met with the head of ISIS at one point. And but I mean, he wants everyone to believe that he was right about Iraq. Like, this was a big mistake to do this thing. But he's complaining to the wrong person. It's just this whole fallacy of Barack Obama pulled out of Iraq. Oh, I guess it's all him. It's all on him. Not knowing, of course, or just refusing to acknowledge that George W. Bush signed this agreement with Iraq long before Barack Obama was ever elected. And all Barack Obama did was say, well, okay. And then a few years later, when ISIS emerges, we've got troops back over there fighting ISIS. Make no mistake that it is going on. You know, I mean, but this is a guy, again, who the right loves to characterize as being some sort of effete capitulator, some weakling who just cowers in the face of terrorism. But, I mean, the fact of the matter is this is the guy who's got the infamous kill list. A list of suspected terrorists that Obama allegedly decides for himself who will or will not be targeted. He says, as Patton Oswalt mentions in Talking for Clapping, we've got robots that kill from the skies. We've got flying robots killing people. And we can discuss the right or wrong of that. Those of you who know me and know Chez know where we land on that issue. But he also authorized the drone hit on Anwar al-Awlaki. He's engaged in anti-terror covert operations in Yemen and Somalia. Under his leadership, 20 or more of the top 30 Al-Qaeda leaders have been killed. More since that statistic was actually reported. He organized the NATO effort in Libya. I mean, just like one thing after another. As much. Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, he ordered bin Laden to be killed. That was a thing.
Yep.
If you remember. But no, of course, he's this effeminate loser, this weakling who plays basketball and goes golfing when he should be killing more terrorists. Which
and meanwhile, you've got John McCain, who, as people are circulating now, who has taken, you know, $7.5 million from the NRA over the length of his career.
Yeah, that's right.
And God forbid he blames, you know, he blames the ease with which you can get a high powered assault style weapon in this country. Mm-hmm. But no, you know what? Now I'm gonna like you said, I'm gonna do the Russian doll thing.
That's right.
Instead of blaming something that is directly responsible, I'm going to blame something that's indirectly – that I think is indirectly responsible, or actually the best argument I could make is that it's indirectly responsible by about a power of 10.
Exactly. And why aren't we blaming like we did after 9/11? Why aren't we blaming the criminals who committed the crimes? That, I mean, everyone was talking about, well, geez, who are the terrorists who did this? It was probably bin Laden. Okay, bin Laden. Let's go get bin Laden. Now it's just like, Obama! You know, it's funny. I kind of had this reserved for the post-mortem show, but, you know, Hank Williams Jr. endorsed Hillary Clinton today. Hank Williams Jr., who was a rabid Obama hater.
Yeah.
I mean, he just went off one time on Fox and Friends. We're going to talk about this on the post-mortem show in more detail. But at one point, he just screamed out,
Obama!
Which is sounds so funny. It sounds like every Obama hater does this while they're watching the news every night.
Obama!
Yep. Well, thank God Bo Cephas is in Hillary Clinton's corner.
That's right. Hillary Clinton's got Hank Williams Jr. on her side. Hank Williams Jr., who hates...
Obama!
All right. Okay, we're going to break, and when we come back, we're going to get into the latest developments in the aftermath of Orlando, what's happening, especially legislatively. That'll be right after this. Hello, Bob here. Last year, I discovered Tweaked Audio for the greatest earbuds ever, and I can honestly say I'm totally spoiled now. I can't imagine using anything else. They're quite literally the finest earbuds available. Go now to our website, bobseska.com, and click the banner for Tweaked Audio for the best in earbuds and earphones. Tweaked Audio is about comfort and quality for every ear in a variety of colors, including natural wood grain. They come with a lifetime warranty and free shipping to anywhere in the world. And Tweaked Audio's earbuds and earphones will work with all of your devices. Available in mic'd or unmic'd versions, they're designed to reduce outside noise, and they're perfect for both music and talk. Hear us and everything better with Tweaked Audio earbuds. You'll like the prices, too. And if you use the code BANDC, that's B-A-N-D-C, at checkout, you'll save 30% off the listed price. Nearly one-third off on comfortable quality earbuds, warranted for life with free shipping anywhere. Use the code BANDC to save big on quality earbuds. Just click the banner for Tweaked Audio at bobseska.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go.
Obama!
Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
Okay, the second half of today's show is brought to you by the BobSeska.com Amazon link. We are lagging behind this month, so if you want to go shopping, now's the time to do it. Go shopping at Amazon.com, but get to it through BobSeska.com. Just below the logo, you'll see a link that says the Amazon link. It's in big capital letters. You can't miss it. And it takes you right to the front page of Amazon.com. You go shopping. It doesn't cost you anything extra, but we get a small commission from everything you buy. Okay? Go do some last-minute shopping for Dad. Why don't you? All right, so let's get back to the show here. Oh, and by the way, I always forget to mention this, but bookmark it. You can actually bookmark the Amazon link. So when you click over to Amazon.com from the link, just make a bookmark, and you can get there from any place you want at any time you want. All right, so here we go. Steve King. Congressman Steve King.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
Right, Steve King. He was talking on CNN with one of the Cuomo brothers. I don't know which Cuomo. One of the many Cuomos.
It's Chris Cuomo. There's only one on CNN.
I know. He was talking with Chris Cuomo about this idea of keeping suspected terrorists from buying guns, which is, to me, and anyone who has a brain in their head, that's like a no-brainer. Like, well, of course, they should be able to buy guns if they're being monitored for suspected terrorist activities.
Shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed. Lots of things. More things.
But, of course, Chris Cuomo asked Steve King about this. And, of course, always Steve King, very strong, he going rogue.
Steve, very strong, he going rogue.
Steve King asserted on Wednesday that the shooting at Pulse nightclub in Orlando could have been prevented if people were not being suppressed by political correctness.
It's just Christ. Amazing,
yeah.
The shit that they find to blame,
yeah.
Instead of blaming the thing that is right in front of them.
How was this a matter of being suppressed by political correctness? Where in the world, in what universe, was Orlando about being suppressed by political correctness?
What they do is they trot out their boogeymen.
Yes.
For everything.
That's right.
They figure out ways. It's confirmation bias. So they figure out ways to make their idiotic arguments reach the conclusion that they desperately need to reach, which is that it's Obama. It's political correctness.
Obama!
It's violent video games. Yeah. It's anything but the ability, the ease with which you can buy a gun in this country.
It's always Obama.
Obama!
During an interview with CNN's Chris Cuomo, King argued that Donald Trump had, quote, laid out some good policies.
Sure.
To address mass shootings. I see this now, man. I see Republicans talking in favorable terms about Donald Trump, and I just go, what?
I'm loving it. Because he's pulling them all down with him.
Again, the line has always been that
Obama
has been incompetent for the last 8 years. He's been a terrible president because he's incompetent. And they've gone and they've nominated Donald Trump to replace
Obama.
That doesn't make any sense. Quote, one of them is his immigration policy. Steve King explained. Let's suspend immigration from terrorist sponsoring countries, at least until we get a handle on this. That's what I've seen a lot of. Let's do this or this or this until we get a handle on this.
Yeah, that's a classic, you know, that's a Donald Trump vagueism.
Yeah, that never works. Until we get a handle on this. This is how we get into Iraq. This is how we start the Afghanistan war. It's just like, well, let's just get in there and until we get a handle on all of this. Well, when the f*** are you going to get a fucking handle on it? What, next year? Are you going to have an exit strategy? No, just wait until we get a handle on this. He continued by saying, I think that's a prudent statement. Yes, completely open-ended commitments to military operations or immigration policy. Awesome idea. And yet...
This is why seriously so few people take them seriously anymore. This is
that's
why
right.
They're hurting so badly right now.
Yeah,
and
that's
they can't
right.
even see it.
Because they've got no specifics. It's all about, what happened? Oh, a shooting in Orlando? Political correctness. Let's get a handle on this. Guns have... Give them... ISIS. What about the thing in Obama? Iraq? Mm. And it's just like... It's like completely
that,
unformed...
That was really beautiful, by the way.
It's unformed bumper sticker thoughts that when they're asked about it by, you know, especially one of the Cuomo brothers here... One of the 12 Cuomos.
Marv
Cuomo.
Lesser known Cuomo brother.
there's also the really lesser known Cuomo brother.
Obama!
Cuomo. Be the least popular of the Cuomos. And Steve King continued by saying, and yet the crossfire is coming back as anti-gun.
Gee, so, I wonder why.
Yeah, and it's not... Steve King thinks it's about immigration... Steve King, of course, going rogue.
Steve, very strong. He going rogue.
But it's actually, he says, about an anti-gun conversation. He continued by saying, we want to have a prudent immigration policy, and the Democrats want to take away our guns! Exclamation mark. The very thing we need to defend ourselves.
It's not like this guy went in there and started complaining to everyone in there about microaggressions. That's what caused it. He just, you know, he just stormed into this club and started bitching about microaggressions.
That's right.
And all these people, 49 people, fell over dead.
Speaking of which, we're going to talk about that Mizzou vigil that went horribly awry the other day. You wrote about it in the Daily Banter. Got to talk about that. All right. But he said, the very thing we need to defend ourselves from people like that shooter in Orlando. So... King also said that he did not agree with people who said that the FBI, which investigated the shooter for ties to terrorism, should have been able to prevent his gun purchases. They did an investigation, King said. They interviewed him two or three times. Then they decided to close the investigation. They didn't have enough to move forward, King explained. And so at that point, where would you then draw the line? Would you say that 15 years from now, if that individual had been interviewed by the FBI, he couldn't buy a gun without setting off alarm bells? You know what, Steve King? I think we shouldn't have allowed him to have a gun until we got a handle on it.
Yeah.
You know, just say, okay, no
until
guns.
Until we figure this out.
Yeah. Yeah. No guns for Omar Mateen and other suspected terrorists until we get a handle on it. That's what I think, Steve King. Jesus Christ, these fuck nuts. They really just, this whole thing has exposed how utterly confused and contradictory and just ineffectual they are about everything. We're going to talk about the filibuster here in a second, and then we're going to get into this Mizzou thing, which just has me infuriated. It is so absurd. A vigil for Orlando basically turned into one SJW's crusade for whatever. Vocal Fry, I think. That was the main thing. Is like, listen to my fry. Listen to me.
It's like, you're white. And I love it when she says you're white and she shrugs. That's the best part.
Yeah. Everything is so passive aggressive, isn't it? It's just it's like, oh, we're not about being aggressive. We're about being, you know, everyone's going to be safe and everyone's going to be okay. But I'm just going to guilt the living motherfucker out of you with my passive aggressive tone. Okay, one last break, more show after this.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
This is the Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
All right, welcome to the show today. Thank you for joining us. So, Chris Murphy filibustered for about 12 hours, and he managed to convince the GOP to reintroduce the gun ban for suspected terrorists, which I assume Steve King will not support. But that was a great move. And this is one of the things that kind of convinced me to believe that something's changing. Something's different this time around. And I think it's positive. I think there's a positive movement in the right direction. I don't think anyone's... we may be getting to a critical mass where enough is enough. I'm still reserving final judgment on that. I don't know if it's actually going to follow through into actual legislation, but it could. It could. So I'm not entirely helpful. I would say I'm partly to mostly hopeful.
I think something has changed this time. I do. And I think that another thing about this is that the Republicans really have no one to blame but themselves right now.
Yeah.
Because the leader of their party is an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that that has weakened them as a party.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that they're weak enough now to go after.
Right. Because what Trump is doing? Trump is exposing all of this contradiction and confusion that you see on the Republican side. Their behavior over the last at least 30 years, which has become worse and worse and worse year by year, is now manifested itself in this orange monster, this orange sideshow clown. Yeah. Who just makes it so obvious and so easy to target. Any discussion of, well, the Republicans don't market in racism in order to stir up the white vote and get them to get out on election day and vote, you know, in favor of their own white racism.
Obama!
That's now. You can't even say that because clearly the Republican nominee for president is playing Southern strategy politics. That's what he's doing. And he's been doing it for the last year, ever since his announcement where he talked about how Mexicans are rapists and on down the line.
Yeah.
This is something that is undeniable, and you can no longer make an argument. Even after Michael Steele, as the chairman of the RNC, actually apologized for the Southern strategy, and still Republicans on Twitter and everything are going, no, it doesn't exist. What are you talking about, Bob? We're all, you know, we love people of all colors, blue, yellow, white, red. No, your party doesn't really believe that. Your party's using race to divide people and to ostracize people and to inflame people. That's what they do. And so now it's completely obvious. So there's no hiding. You can't be a member of the Republican caucus in the Congress and say, no, because there's your guy. You've wrapped your arms around this guy. You've nominated this guy. You refuse to make any moves to get this guy replaced with someone else who's maybe a little less obvious about it. So you're responsible for it. The Republicans are all responsible for this guy. Meanwhile, led by senators who represent Newtown, Connecticut, where a gunman fatally shot 26 people, including 20 children in 2012, Democrats took control of the Senate floor on Wednesday, vowed to keep talking until lawmakers start doing something about gun violence. It was a great, great deal. And most of the senators signed on to it. There was one senator who was missing from the list of people signed on to the filibuster.
Are you talking about Bernie?
No, of course not. I'm talking about someone who looks a little bit like him. His name is Bernie Schmanders. I don't know. Yeah. But he was in Vermont, so he wasn't.
Oh, isn't Sanders having a some sort of live stream today where yes. He says he's not going to actually quit, which just seriously, after this week, dude, just fuck off.
Yeah.
Seriously, you're done. You're just it's your history. Goodbye.
All right, now turning the page to University of Missouri and a vigil that was held the other day. I've got the audio of this a little bit. Do you want to set this up, Jess? Because you wrote a fucking great piece about this in the Daily Banter.
Yeah. So the kids at Mizzou, which Mizzou is the school that last November had the big protest.
Right.
October and November, actually, both had big protests because there were, supposed systemic racism on campus, which may be a true thing, may not. I genuinely don't know. It's tough to tell when it comes to college kids these days because everything to them is racism, is, oppression. But either way, this is the school that had that happen. It's the school where they set up the safe spaces and Melissa Click, the associate professor, got fired because she tried to basically strong arm a student journalist.
Yep.
Also, basically, that's the legacy of Mizzou at the moment. Also, by the way, one of the best journalism schools in the country. That is absolutely true.
Yes,
it has
been
for a very long time. So I guess a couple of days ago, they had a vigil for the people who were killed in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
And that vigil was very quickly hijacked by the thing that just dominates colleges everywhere now, and especially Mizzou, which is identity politics.
That's right.
And especially one person who got up to talk, her very, very small slice of the identity politics pie.
Yes.
So, yeah, it took what was supposed to be a memorial for the victims of this shooting just turned into
It became a platform for this one activist to basically make it all about her and all about her personal comfort.
Yeah.
So what she did, and it was really educational for me to watch this video. We're going to play the sound here in a second, because I learned so much about what the problem is here. There is this desire to be so non-threatening and so kid gloves about everything. Like, we can't challenge anybody or else they'll feel unsafe and insecure and they might want to go to their safe space and all that stuff. But it's actually a lot of guilt. It's a lot of passive aggressive guilt. Yeah. Where and then it's delivered in a way that's so calm and disarming. It's like Mr. Rogers delivering lines written by Don Rickles.
Well, that's not always the case, though. No. I mean, keep in mind that we've seen Black Lives Matter protesters on campus, which, by the way, not at all criticizing the Black Lives Matter movement, but Black Lives Matter protesters on campus basically running into like libraries and screaming at white people.
Oh, that's true.
Like, your white tears and that guy. So it all kind of depends. But this particular person is, yes, incredibly passive aggressive. Just she's got the vocal fry, which just makes everything she says just make you, it just makes your ears bleed.
Yep.
And it adds so much just so much obnoxiousness to everything that she says.
And
what she does is she makes this all about her.
Yeah. And the tone, I guess what I'm getting at is the tone reminds me of the way everyone speaks on Girls, on HBO's Girls.
Yeah, of course. Where it's incredibly millennial.
Yeah, exactly. So let's just dive in. Instead of describing it, this is this protester at University of Missouri guilting everyone in the crowd because there are too many white people.
I was really nervous to get up here because there's a lot of white people in the crowd. And that wasn't a joke.
Oh, my God. I mean, just right there, the aggression
Yeah, it's the it's passive aggression.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
I was really scared to get up here because of all the white people.
They're just going to grab you and torch you.
Yeah, that's right. They're going to fucking
Roose Bolton you and flay you alive.
They're going to drive you away in a trail of tears and then engage in a Holocaust and then try to sell you whiskey and give you rights to own casinos.
Right.
They're all going to do that right now. And I'm scared. Not a joke.
But we're going to get to it in a second. You're going to hear more of it. Yeah. But this is the kind of thing that makes it very hard for me to take any of their complaints seriously.
Yeah.
You know, again, there may be real serious issues at Mizzou.
Yes, of course.
There may be. But when you get angry over everything, right, where everything is an affront to you, everything is an offense that harms you, literally harms you,
yeah,
literally makes it so that you can't function, that to me says that nothing is really all that serious.
Yeah. I mean, good politics is about timing. And make no mistake, social justice warriors and the like, I mean, they're all engaging in politics. It's political activism. And there's a lot to be said for finding a sweet spot, finding the time when your issue is most appropriately discussed. This was not a time to talk about this woman's race issues.
It's not about her.
Right.
You know, reminds me of is, you know, there's another thing that was circulating. Mm-hmm. I think it was last week. Yeah. Somebody wrote something on Facebook, and it was this story that she told about how she was walking down the sidewalk, mm-hmm, and she was with her boyfriend, and there was a guy who was coming toward her, and he was right in the middle of the sidewalk.
Obama!
And she was like, she wrote this as if he were literally swinging his fist, yelling, "F*** you, whore."
Oh my God.
You know, because she's like, I'll be damned if I'll let him, you know, stand in the middle of the sidewalk. You know, f*** that. I don't know who he thought he was dealing with. And like, so he eventually has to kind of step aside. And then he turns, according to her, he turns around and he says something like, okay, fine, I'll get out of the way. And she's like, yeah, you goddamn well will. And she talks about how her boyfriend was like, what are you doing? And she yells, that was misogyny.
Oh, my God.
I'm like, If an inconsiderate jackass walking in the middle of a sidewalk is literally woman hating, and by the way, I hate using the word literally because I'm sort of mocking the way that millennials use literally. They use literally the same way that they use misogyny, which is they've taken the power out of these very powerful words, mm-hmm, and now use it to describe anything. And when that happens, you have no words left to describe what is genuinely harmful. If you think that, again, a guy walking in the middle of the sidewalk is woman-hating,
yeah,
because that's what misogyny means.
Literally.
Literally.
You are seriously, you are unbelievably misguided.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And that's how these people feel. Every little thing is this night terror, this thing that that makes it so that they have to freeze up and they just can't go on. Mm-hmm.
Here's a little bit, before we wrap up the show, here's a little bit more of this audio.
I wish this many people came out to our racial demonstrations and our Black Lives Matter movements.
It's like I'm going to say something really aggressive, but I'm going to say it in the least amount of breath possible.
She's so disappointed. Yeah. You can hear it. She's not angry. She's just sad.
Is your ass jealous of the amount of that just came out of your mouth? That wasn't a joke. I'd like to see things from your point of view.
Keep going with this, though. It's a winner.
I can't seem to get my head that far up my ass. not a joke.
Come on. Well, I don't want to stand up here and be angry because this isn't for me and this isn't for you.
No shit, kid. It ain't for you.
Your family tree must be a cactus because everybody on it is a prick. Your birth certificate is an apology letter from a condom factory. That's not a joke either.
For the people that we lost, and the people we may lose tomorrow, and the people we lost yesterday. But I thought I'd take the moment to just like list out some facts that many of you probably don't know, because you're white.
yeah, you stupids.
Oh, by the way, and listen, this is the best part. She says that she's going to list off some facts, and like the first word she says is "I feel," because whatever feels you're feeling, sweetheart, those are facts.
The only way you'll ever get laid is if you crawl up a chicken's ass and wait. Get
That's
it?
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
I'm tired of the black and white dichotomy that happens every time we talk about race or anything that goes on in our country. But we never.
Oh my God!
This horrible. You know, I said yesterday when I wrote about it, this couldn't be a better self-parody. This is like this is like a comedy sketch concocted by a Reddit user, by a Reddit user and a Trilby.
Oh my God.
Like you could not concoct a better prototypical example of a quote unquote social justice warrior that feeds the myth that Reddit users all subscribe to than this. This is just perfect.
Roses are red, violets are blue. God made me pretty. What happened to you?
But eventually it goes on.
I could do this all day.
Yeah, eventually it goes on to there's this gay couple who are older. They're not kids.
Oh yeah.
And one of them says that he's been marching for gay rights since 1982, and they basically interject and start yelling like, "This is not about you. You know, we came here for unity, and you're dividing us. Stop it." and the best part is, you know, the woman next to her, the one who's like, "Yeah, sing it, sister." She's like, "Now stop, you know, we have to listen to how she feels." No, oh, we f***ing
no.
don't.
No,
stop don't. Telling these kids that the whole world has to stop and make way, you know, give them a wide berth so that we can hear what they feel.
Yeah.
Because when they get out into the real world, nobody's going to give a f***ing
This was about Orlando. This was not your personal soapbox to get up and voice your concern over the fact that you're somewhere between white and black, and then that somehow has to concern us. No, this is not the way it works.
No, there were like I said, black people were killed in Orlando. Latinos were killed in Orlando.
Exactly.
Women, men, yep. Probably gender fluid people, mm-hmm. people who were gay, people who were straight.
Yeah.
All like you will never find a bigger cross section of humanity than the victims of that attack. And yet this woman is segregating. Like, literally segregating.
That's right. That's right. She's doing it herself. All right, the postmortem show is coming up next. Sign up at patreon.com/Bob and Chez. We may just continue talking about this Mizzou thing, plus Ted Cruz, maybe... Oh, yeah, you know, I think we're going to talk about Obama a little more. Obama!
Obama!
See ya.